This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
The delicate balance of economics and geopolitics is now front and center in Taiwan. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is preparing to depart the self-ruled island as we speak. She capped her less than 24-hour stay with a meeting today with Taiwan's democratically elected president, Tsai Ing-wen. Ms. Pelosi described the shared relationship as one that's thriving based on common values. President Tsai said the meeting sends a message to the world that democracies stand together in the face of common challenges. But she also highlighted a growing military threat from China, the economic reality of the highest-profile U.S. visit in 25 years. Chung Ying Lee is associate professor of economics at National Taiwan University. He says he expects any impact to be uneven.
We have seen the import suspensions from China. Some foods like biscuits or mooncakes were suspended, and they cannot sell their products to the Chinese market anymore. For the manufacturers in Taiwan, they may have more difficult time managing their inventories and even the whole manufacturing process. Some of the manufacturers may be more affected, such as foods or produces, but some other manufacturers in Taiwan, such as computer chips, may be less affected because their products are less substitutable.
And I think that's the thing, is that it can potentially cause big problems for Taiwan's economy, but also the world, because of Taiwan's position in global semiconductor manufacturing. We see the Chinese military blockade around Taiwan. What is the biggest concern then for the global tech industry? How big of a problem is this now?
I think for the military drills, they are relatively short term. I think the long-term risk is that the supply chain can be interrupted more often than before. This can be a big concern for the chip industry because the supply can be less stable, and so the prices can change a lot. We will see more uncertainties and volatilities if the tensions continue between the U.S. and China.
I guess the other question is how permanent can some of this be for global industries? Because yesterday it was reported that a Chinese electric vehicle battery supplier has now delayed announcing a multi-billion dollar plan for a North American plant that would supply big car makers like Tesla and Ford. I mean, could we see this tension resulting in more of this kind of decision making, companies delaying expansion plans and investment in various countries and places?
In the short run, because of the high switching costs, it will be very difficult for manufacturers to adjust their factories or manufacturing process. But if the tensions continue, I expect the manufacturers will start to make some changes in order to diversify their risk and better manage their production. In the short run, we may not see so many adjustments happening, but in the long run, I believe that the manufacturers would do something to lower the instability in their production.
So maybe good for companies and global supply chains, but presumably bad then for Taiwan's economy.
It's difficult to tell because, you know, Taiwan has long relied on China in terms of their market and in terms of their labor. But now people start to know that these kind of benefits may not be able to sustain. And so they will start to rethink their production and they will start to rethink their markets. In the short run, it will be difficult to move their factories around. But in the long run, they may do something in response to the recent tensions between the U.S. and China.
Chengyan Li, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Checking the numbers now, the Shanghai Composite Index closed down 0.7% today, its lowest level since May. Benchmarks in Europe are little changed after fresh figures showed Eurozone business activity contracted last month, falling to a 17-month low. Economic pressures are also worsening in Turkey, where consumer prices last month surged 79.6% from a year ago. The central bank said last week it sees inflation reaching as high as 90% this autumn. Despite that, though, no sign that policymakers have plans to raise interest rates. As Turkey grapples with growing price pressures, it's also playing a vital role in easing the global food shortage. Officials in waters off Istanbul have just wrapped up their inspections of the first grain-laden ship to have left Ukraine since war broke out. The BBC's Orla Girin has more on that.
Checks on vessels sailing to and from Ukraine are a key part of the deal to resume exports. The aim is to ensure no weapons are brought in and only grain is brought out. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the ship is loaded with two commodities in short supply, corn and hope. This voyage is very much a trial run. So far it has gone smoothly, but Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has urged caution.
That's the BBC's Orla Girin there. To the Netherlands now, where farmers have been driving tractors to Parliament, blocking supermarket distribution centers and showing up at politicians' homes. It's part of a protest against government proposals to reduce nitrogen emissions through a 30% reduction in livestock and implementation of less intensive farming practices. Farmers say the plans unfairly target their industry, as the BBC's Anna Holligan reports.
It's a beautiful, sunny day. Swallows are dipping in and out of this dairy farm barn.
At the moment we have 160 cows.
Geert-Jan Kloosterboer is the farmer here. This proud farming nation is under intense pressure.
This area needs to have a plan to reduce nitrogen. We don't know what our future will be and what we have to do to stay farmers for the future.
And it's this nagging sense of uncertainty which has driven some farmers to use their tractors as tools. Caroline van der Plas is the leader of the BBB, the Farmer Citizen Movement.
Things are going well for you.
A relatively new party,
yeah,
which is currently witnessing a surge in the polls.
How has it got to this point?
You can see that the Dutch people are getting more and more angry.
Are you, as the Farmers' Party, prepared to negotiate with the government's negotiator?
No, we want the whole nitrogen policy. We want to put a hold on that. And I also said, be careful what you wish for, because when the farmers are gone, they are not going to come back. If we depend on imports, then we have a big problem.
My name is Natasha Oerlemans, and I'm head of food at WWF, Worldwide Fund for Nature. There's no scientific doubt that agriculture in the Netherlands is the largest emitter of nitrogen in the form of ammonia. The reason why the pressure is so high at the moment is that the Netherlands has a housing shortage. No economic development in the Netherlands is possible unless nitrogen is being reduced.
The Dutch government has put around $24 billion on the table to fund the transition, but most farmers say the plans are unrealistic and will force many out of business. In Deventer, I'm the BBC's Anna Holligan from Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.